Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. We're here at our new time at 9 o'clock and we'll be keeping it at this time until further notice, probably at least through the summer, if not longer. We'll see how it is convenience-wise for our listeners. During the summer, everybody likes to get out and about, so this definitely seems to be the way to go, at least for now. So we've been talking about our series on developing and supernatural goals and the strategies for accomplishing them. So what we want to continue with is addressing some questions that have come up regarding some of the issues. And there are always, when we are talking about personal things, we have a very diverse group of people that call themselves, refer to themselves as Christians. God doesn't care what our denomination is. He doesn't care. He's not going to include or exclude any of us because of the church we belong to. So starting right off the bat, to think that Christianity is focused around who is going to heaven and who is going to hell starts off on the wrong issue. Basically, fundamentally, that's the wrong question. Instead, what we're talking about is who has relationship with God. Now, everyone, all creation, is in relationship with God. But not all have a relationship. When we talk about knowing God, when we talk about being in a relationship with Him, we're talking about that being two ways. In other words, God just not in relationship with us, but we're also in relationship with Him. He's not just waiting to see how we do. Here's a test. How are you going to do? I've given you everything you need to pass the test, but it's up to you to follow my directions, to implement my plan, and to resist your flesh or your own weaknesses. And then if you don't pass that test, we'll just try again. That's not relationship. Anyone can do that. That's doesn't change either one of us. That doesn't change God, and that doesn't change us. Because we can perform. Without changing. We can, to some degree, act like a Christian without being one. one of my little tests or questions I ask in regard to especially something new that's going on within Christian circles or religious circles is, can that be done by a non-Christian? So most of, when we look at, for instance, traditional organized religion within churches, most of what goes on in there can be done in other social and civic organizations. You know, raising money to support missions, helping children learn, giving an opportunity for fellowship, encouragement. All these things can be done, you know, raising money, building new buildings, keeping one another accountable, eating, favorite Christian pastime. These things can be done in the context of other, many other kinds of organizations. They can also be done in the context of many other religions. There are very few rituals or ways of being in fellowship that are unique to Christianity. So it is not about our behavior. It's also not about our feeling. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to feel like you're a Christian, or feel close to God, or feel like you're closer today than you were yesterday, that things are changing, that you're growing, or that you're not feeling bad about yourself, or that you're not feeling bad about others. It's not about feeling at all. And it's not about not sinning. It's not about not doing the right things or doing the wrong things and changing that. Instead, it's about relationship. Only Christians have that relationship with God that is two-way. Again, all creation God relates to because he created. But we as Christians can know him and enter into that two-way relationship where we receive from him and actually give to him by being able to receive from him. We are one in him and with him in our spirit. So there's again that reminder that, spiritually speaking, we're done. There are no more tests. There are no more evaluations, no more homework in your spirit. So the question comes about our relationship within ourselves, between our spirit and our soul. And what there's a tendency to happen is we focus on what's going on in the natural. We want to be productive. We want to belong. We want to get out of problems we've got. Now, those are all normal desires and expectations. But whether you're a Christian or not, those are the same. But as Christians, we can have those needs met in our soul and in our body, as well as they are already in our spirit. So we don't want to be thinking in terms of how it changes our behavior, how being wounded or not wounded changes our behavior. That's not the goal. That will likely be the outcome. But we don't measure our success in getting healed and knowing God by our behavior. Very often what will happen is over time the Lord will reveal to us that our behavior has changed. And that will be a confirmation of the change that God has done in our lives. But it is not the measure of success or failure in depending on Him. And in our other series, we've been talking about His personal presence, allowing Him to be who He is and revealing Himself to us in the way He chooses and the varieties of ways He chooses. So we let Him be the God and choose how that happens, how He reveals Himself. Another one of the questions we want to address a little bit is about the difference between supernatural and solical goals. We're going to start laying some groundwork for getting into developing some solical goals as well as the supernatural goals. When we're talking about the supernatural, we're talking about any aspect of the supernatural realm. So the supernatural realm is that realm between the natural and the spiritual. It's where supernatural beings dwell, and God created the supernatural realm and has the authority over it. We can't go into the supernatural realm too much because we have a whole series on Monday nights talking about practical Christianity, in which we're laying a lot of the groundwork for understanding the three realms. So if you have any questions, I encourage you to look into that series in the archives of the podcast. But very often, supernatural goals pertain to that broad spectrum of our reality and will very often take that realm of the supernatural and bring it under our control. As a spirit being, you already have authority over both the supernatural and solical aspects of the supernatural realm. But when we talk about solical goals, we're talking about goals specifically related to our soul, to your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your soul has senses, has abilities, skills, and strengths and weaknesses. Your soul was uniquely crafted by God for you. And so your soul is being brought into submission to your spirit. Your soul is in training. So for our purposes, we're talking about the difference between supernatural and soulical goals is being, for our supernatural goals, we are learning to especially address things in the that are time related that we need to get control over, gain authority over, learn to rule and reign over. Things that are have happened in the past that we're fearful of the future, or that we're out that are out of control in the present. So in the supernatural area, we are being interfered with by our enemies in the supernatural area. Our enemies, your enemies, are the world, the flesh, and the devil. They have no way of battling you in the spiritual realm. So that battle, though it may even seem, sometimes it occurs in the natural, but generally speaking, it's in the supernatural realm. So as we are identifying areas where we are developing those supernatural goals, those goals will obviously relate to our soul. But our soulical goals, we could say, are going to be related to skills and desires that God has placed within our soul, within our mind, will, and emotions that we want to accomplish. Some of these may involve overcoming our enemies in the supernatural realm, but they are going to be specifically addressing what is going on in our mind, will, and emotions. For instance, if we want to hear God clearly, we're going to end up relating that to a soulical goal that we need to have certain skills developed. Now, that may come about as a part of the process of developing supernatural goals, or they can be distinct. For instance, if we're struggling with finding direction in an area, and what we discover is we really need to be able to hear Him. Now, that's a supernatural goal, but it's also a soulical goal. So as we are in the process, in the supernatural, we are seeing how what we believe about who God is and who we are and the reality we live in affects our freedom in regards to our past, present, and future. We are also seeing how not knowing what our soulical skills and abilities are in our mind, will, and emotions, obviously through dependence on God, that's how we have been enslaved by the past, the present, and the future. Remember, you're not a time-oriented being anymore. Only your physical being, your body, is restricted by time. Your soul isn't, and your spirit certainly isn't. In your spirit, you are already in eternal life. Eternal life is not more life, and it is not a better life. It is a whole different quality of life. It is God's life. and you've already got that. So what we're going to be starting to look at, and just planting the seeds at this point, and in really what I'm looking to do is, I don't want to get so bogged down with, shall we say, the negative, things that need to be addressed before we move forward. We want to start moving forward even as we're addressing those burdens and the weights that have interfered with our being able to rest in Him. So, though we won't be starting to get into any real homework in this area, just to give you a taste, what we're going to be looking at is how your desires within your soul, what God, the desires He's given you, testing those to see if they're from Him, and then how do you set goals to achieve those desires, those wants. And that can be in a variety of ways, whether you have a desire to minister, to teach, whether you have a desire to move in the supernatural gifts, the solical gifts. There's, you know, dozens listed in scriptures, but we're, and that may be where we start as far as terminology. But our expression of the way God's life flows through our soul is going to be unique for each one of us. And we want to be able to learn how to develop the skills and the unique blend that God has made each one of us, and then express that in dependence on Him. And we will likely start with the 9 commonly referred to as the charismatic gifts. And we'll be looking at finding ways of exercising, objectively exercising and developing those gifts. And those gifts reside in everyone, because we all have a mind, will, and emotion. Because we all have a soul. We are all spirit, soul, and body. Now, some of us have dead spirits and some of us have living spirits. That's the only difference. But once you became a Christian, you didn't lose your mind. You still have the same mind before becoming Christian as you do after. The same way with your will, same way with your emotions. Now, for some, at that point of being changed, being made into a new creature, God may have on His own decided to change and free your mind and heal your emotions and free your will or aspects of your will. But He did not do a complete job. And I can guarantee that, because the whole world would have been changed if that had been the case. If your soul had been completely changed at that time of, now at some point in time that will happen, but it hasn't changed yet, because the whole earth would know about it. Because that's pretty much the reflection of who Jesus is. When He was on this earth, His soul was completely one with His spirit. That's the big distinction between, in practical terms, between us and what Jesus' life looked like. When we ask, what would Jesus do, we're looking to our own devices, our own understanding, to try to figure out what God can only, He decides on a case-by-case basis. And the only way we can know what He wants to do is by asking Him. So we don't want to be distracted by cliches and easy outs. You know, again, any Christian, any non-Christian can ask, well, what would Jesus do? With the thought of, okay, what would be a good thing? What would be a blessing? What would be a God thing? You don't have to know God to ask that question. But you, because you know God, he wants to speak to you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him so well that he's your best friend. He's the one you count on and turn to. And he is going to have his way in your life. Nothing is stopping him from following through with those things that he wants to do in your life. A lot of times we have a misunderstanding about what that is, but that's our problem. That's our challenge. That's what we're working through. This is, again, why it's so important that we be willing to change what we believe. Question I like to ask is, when we are touching on difficult subjects where there's clear disagreement, what would be so bad if you were wrong? What would be so horrendous that you're clinging to this belief so tightly? Would it really be so bad? What would be so earth-shattering if you were wrong about that? Now, maybe for some, it's just the whole, you know, you can't be wrong. Others, being wrong about that would mean a change in lifestyle. Or, well, then what am I to do? There's nothing there underneath. You know, for those, for instance, who believe that they are called to ministry because there was a word given when they were, you know, in church one day. Well, what if that wasn't your interpretation isn't what God meant? What if you've been basing your decisions and motivating yourself based on a misinterpretation? Possibly that would cause fear or shame because you missed him or whatever. A variety of different responses. But what we don't want to do is run from the question because the answer might be too difficult. Our goal is to let's look at what the results are, the consequences, and deal with the consequences. Let's ask the difficult questions and deal with the difficult answers. Those questions and answers are never going to change, even after you die. After you leave this world, we have no indication that everything's going to be all, you know, finished. Peace and light and everything's, you know, if we can just make it through. The freedom God wants to bring into your soul, the need will still be there until that need is met. So you might as well deal with it now. That's what it all comes down to. Deal with it now. There's no time like the present. And this is one of the reasons we're dealing with these supernatural goals, is we're asking God, what are the issues that are keeping me from enjoying that freedom and that peace? And really accomplishing in the soul what God has set aside for this time. So, just as a refresher, we've been talking about the last part of the homework for last week was about how do you feel, how did you feel, and how do you want to feel? And then who is missing from your life? Who is missing from the list, whether it's in the past or the present or the future? Another way to put that is when you think, you know, you can look back and you can go, okay, for instance, let's just use an example. Say you were raised in a family where there was a divorce when you were at an early age. And you're putting yourself back in that situation. And you're trying to remember how you feel, how you felt at that time. And you're trying to think about the people involved. And you're trying to think about the circumstances in the situation. And you're trying to answer the questions according to putting yourself back in that situation. Your homework for next week is slightly different. Same areas, same subject matter. But now I want you to write down for each one of those situations, those three items we're talking about now, and each one of those people involved, regardless of how many people. Now, when you think of that situation, what do you feel? Not putting yourself back into that situation, but now, as a person in this year, in this day, when you think about, for instance, your parents being divorced, how do you feel? And how do you, what is the thoughts going through your mind? What is your response? For instance, you have perhaps siblings, and they are likely on your list of people who were affected by that incident. They are an element of the situation. When you think of, let's say, your brother, how do you feel? What do you think? When you think of your sister, how do you feel? What do you think? When you think of your mom, what do you think? What do you feel? When you think of your dad, what do you think? What do you feel? Maybe there was infidelity. When you think about the person who broke up that relationship, what do you think? What do you feel? So we're starting to see that there might be a distinction between how you felt and thought then and how you think and feel now. We can say we're sort of massaging the whole subject. We're getting everything we can out of this issue. Now, I will also say that it can be, according to God's timing, He may free you of any of these issues, any of these wounds at any time. When we come out of, when we get to the point where we're developing a strategy to overcome any of these wounds and any of these bad habits, habit patterns, or burdens that keep us from being free, we may find that they've already been dealt with. You know, and that's great, because that's very often what happens. We're doing the research, and very often it's during the research that we find out that the problem isn't what we thought, the problem is bigger or smaller than we thought, or that the whole issue really is a non-issue. Just by doing the research, we find, oh, wait a minute, you know, like if we're doing research whatever, you find, okay, well, you know, there really isn't a choice to be made because there's only one option. So you really don't need a strategy. This is your only option and you take it. Or maybe that's the choice. Do you take it or not? And then it's a simple yes or no question from God, for God. So keep going with your homework. Be spending time with Him on these questions separate from your other times with Him, your quiet time and your healing time. This is a separate time from Him. And again, ask Him for when is a good time and how much time you should be spending on this. These are all areas where we show Him respect and how much we regard Him by putting in the time where He says to put it. And that, for some of us, is going to be hard because he may be asking us to give up things that we thought he wanted us to be doing. So it may be a struggle to work through a particular area to find out which is the voice of God. But you know what? That's what's important. Not hearing the answer, but working through developing that ability to hear him. So I look forward to continuing our series next Saturday, again at 9 o'clock. And during the week, it's 6:30 Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So if you've got any questions, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can, in one way or another. If you've got a question you'd like answered on air, just let me know. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll try to address questions in a way that everybody can benefit from. And if you've got a specific question, I will address your question privately, specifically. Okay? So thanks again for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.